couldn't wait to hear from you. I literally were trying to figure out, should it be Shabbos, on Shabbos, before Shabbos, Parshas Truma with this? But I know this will be perfect in terms of preparing us for Shiloh today and for the upcoming week. So, Ricky Rabinowitz, you speak for, I think, hundreds of women weekly, if I'm not mistaken. Where do you speak?
Yeshurun, Beit Knesset Yeshurun, up on King Yud, Rechavia. Started out in Shari Chesed. We've grown and we've moved.
And you're originally from Muncie?
I'm from Muncie.
Okay.
Yard said to my father this week, so his neshama should have an aliyah, Yaakov David ben Nosson Zev HaKayin. And I hope he has nachas ruach from all of his children, and certainly from the fact that I live in Eretz Yisrael. I came to Eretz Yisrael 42 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Okay, 42 years ago, I came to stay for a year. My husband was in Brisk, and he wanted to stay in yeshiva for a year. So we stayed for a year, and then a year, and then a year. 7 years, I kept 2 days yontif. For 7 years. That means I was leaving for 7 years. After 7 years, the Rav said, you're not keeping 2 days yontif. Because it's a real problem. You know, we all think about keeping 2 days yontif as the cooking and the shopping and the doing and the preparing and the organizing. But for the men, it means on the second day yontif of the last days, they're not putting on tefillin.
Right.
Now, if a person's chayav in tefillin, they're chayav in tefillin. So it becomes very complicated. And all the brachas, you know, making kiddush, making a second seder and all that stuff. And then I thought, how am I ever going to do one day yontif? Guess what, you know? It's so easy. You know, we think about it. Although I have to say that we're looking forward this year to having Shabbos Erev Pesach because we get one Seder, right? So if you got to sleep before the Seder, it's a different Seder. And normally, it just doesn't happen. Someone wants your attention. But since I am talking about family, and since that's, we're talking about family, when you look at Sefer Bereishis, the entire Sefer Bereishis is a Sefer about family. It's a family book. It's a book about the beginning of time, the creation of first man, and follow through till we get to a family. Because the concept of family is integral to the Jewish nation. And that's a concept that in today's world, also in America, also in Israel, it's the same thing. The concept of family has been undermined. Trump might come back, might restore some of it. I'm not sure what he's up to. Sometimes he scares the living daylights out of me because you just don't know what he's up to.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he does stand for and his vice president does stand for is the concept of family. And that's what Sefer Bereishis is about. It's about creating the family which will, in Sefer Shmos, become Am Yisrael. But in order to get Am Yisrael, you need structure. And the structure of Am Yisrael is family. If you don't have a family unit, you don't have a nation. Because the building of a nation is based on having the concepts that exist in a family. And that's what we have right straight away in the Aseres HaDibros. As soon as we get the Aseres HaDibros, you have Kaveres HaVicha VeSimecha. That means there's a mother and a father and children. That is the structure of a family. And then we're going to have so many times all through Nach the idea of a mother, the Shechina as a mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father. We're going to keep using those terms. Those are the terminology. So the first piece that needed to be created was the structure of a family. And that family, of course, is the family of Yaakov Avinu. The end of Sefer Bereishis, after we go through the whole process, we get to one family, the family of Yaakov Avinu. Went through Avram, finally got in Avram after 1948 years, 1,948 years, then comes along Avram, and then it takes Avram time, whether he was three, how old he was, when he was Makir Esboro. If you want me to translate something, say so. I know you said no interruptions. Please interrupt. because otherwise I just keep talking, and if you don't get me, so tell me. Avram Avinu, right? And then from Avram Avinu, we get those two tracks, the one track that becomes part of Klal Yisrael and the track that doesn't, right? There's a process of elimination, literal process of elimination. Yishmael doesn't become Yitzchak does. From Yitzchak, we have the process of elimination. We have a Yaakov, we have an Esav. We're left with Yaakov. From Yaakov, we don't have a process of elimination. From Yaakov and onward, anyone who's born from there and onward, that's it. You're part of the nation. Sefer Shmos begins with the same psukim that Sefer Bereshis ends with. Ve'elu Shmos b'nei Yisrael abo Mitzrayim es Yaakov ishu beis obo. And lists again, Reuven, Shimon, Levi lists it all and tells us how many people came down to Mitzrayim. Because this is the beginning of the next chapter of Am Yisrael. It's creating a nation. The entire Sefer Shmos is devoted to creating a nation. Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGeula. The Geula of Klal Yisrael can only come on a national level. It's what the Ramban says. When the Ramban names the different Sfarim in Chamisha Chumash Torah, he says Sefer Shmos. He begins by saying it's Sefer HaGolus VaGeula, and then he says it's Sefer HaGeula. And you say, what happened to Sefer HaGolus? And the Ramban talks about it. He says how Golus is an integral part of Geula. Golus is not something separate from Geula. Golus and Geula are integrated, woven together. They are one thing. So you look at Sefer Shmos and you say, okay, where's the Geula in Sefer Shmos? Yitzias
Mitzrayim.
Parshas B'Shalach. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? So Shmos, Ba'era, and Bo are Golus. B'Shalach is Geula. Yisro is already Matan Torah. And then? It's over. We're out. We got it. We're out of Egypt. We got the Torah. So how about the rest of the Sefer? One of my grandchildren said, oh, we're up to the boring parshas now. What are the boring parshas? The boring parshas are Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pikudei. Details, this measurement, that measurement, building a Mishkan, creating a Mishkan. And you stop a minute and you say, wait, the Ramban knew that the rest of Sefer Shmos is different. So why does the Ramban not say the beginning of the Sefer is Sefer HaGolus VaHaGeula, and the continuation is Sefer HaMishkan, or HaMikdash, the Kelim, the outside? What is it? And to understand it, we have to understand what the concept is of a Mishkan. And when I was given the title of Vasuli Mishkan, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem, I was thinking to myself, I'm going to talk about the Mishkan, I'm going to talk about how many amos the boards were, and how they were put together, and where the coverings went, and where the kelim were placed. No. Because that's just an external piece of what the Torah is talking about. Because when the Torah says, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem, we need to understand that Am Yisrael does not exist without Shechina. We are not a regular nation. We are not a nation that has a land. We have a land. But we are not a nation because we have a land. If you think about the Arba Lashonos of Geula, and I know the P word, you can't say the Pesach word. But if you think about the Pesach, and you think about the four cases, Votzesi, Vitzalti, Vga'alti, Velakachti, and then Vehevesi. Because the Vehevesi is dependent on their having been a Vilakachti eschem li la'am, Vahayisi lachem le'elokim. If there's no Vahayisi lachem le'elokim, there's no Vehevesi. Eretz Yisrael is not Eretz Yisrael, does not make us Jews. Jewish people are Jewish people because we got the Torah. Jewish people are Jewish people because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bochar ba'avram ba'utzeisu me'er kasdin v'samta shimo avram, and so on and so forth, like we say every morning in Shacharis. We are a nation because we're Hashem's people. And then we have the land that matches that concept. Because Eretz Yisrael goes back to where the world was created from. The world was created from here, from Yerushalayim. This is the start of creation. Am Yisrael was created from here. When Adam HaRishon was created, he was created for the purpose of being the forerunner of a nation. What nation would that be? That's going to be us. What's our purpose? What are we here for? Not to plow the land and build the land. Yes, we're going to plow the land and build the land. So what we're here for? Am zu yatzarti li tilasi saperu. Kadosh Baruch Hu created us for one purpose. Doesn't need us. Doesn't need anything. He's not missing anything. There's nothing we can add to him. To be Mahalo Hashem. What does it mean to be Mahalo Hashem? We just said Hallel for 2 days. We had Rosh Chodesh on Friday and on Shabbos. We said Hallel. Hallel V'Hodah. We sang beautifully. Did any of you go to the Hallel? Did you go to the Rikka Razel's Hallel?
No, we went to the fourth.
Oh, Chaval, you missed that. On Friday morning. Rikka Razel, you know, they do Hallel.
Yeah, where was that? Yeah. Was it in New Jersey?
Huh? In Yeshurun, in Yeshurun.
You went last year. I went this year to the Great Synagogue.
You went to the Great Synagogue. They also did a beautiful hallel. Yeah.
We went to the Chorva, it was also very beautiful.
You went to our Samachela, Izzy, wow. So you went back to the roots. You went back to the family. And from the family, we build a nation. That's our process. From the family, we build a nation. But what's the whole idea of a Mishkan? And why are you going to Shiloh today? I didn't even know you were going to Shiloh. But why are you going to Shiloh? What's in Shiloh? First of all, it's very interesting. Very interesting. But you have to think about what the concept is of a Mishkan. You build a hotel to house the people who are coming into the hotel. The hotel is the vessel. It contains all of us that are in the hotel. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Molei Kol Haaretz Kvodo. You're going to build my house? You're going to say, okay, here the Shekhinah rests, but when I leave here, I'm okay? You can't have a containment of something which is larger than the vessel in which it is being contained. It's impossible, right? We all learn basic science. You can't do that. If there's a vessel to contain, then what's inside is smaller than the vessel. Otherwise, it doesn't contain. How can you say that about Kaviyachol, about the Rabbeinu Shlomo? Even if all you ever learned in your life was Uncle Maishi, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around, how are you going to contain that? Where are you building the walls of this Mishkan? Where is it going to be? It can't be. And that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom says in that pasuk in the Torah. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. It's a promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you make a Beis HaMikdash, that means you take what's yours, you donate it half a shekel at a time, every person the same amount. You donate your gold, your silver, your precious stones. You make me a mikdash, I'm making you a promise. You're going to become the channel. You, each one of us, are going to become the channel for bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. Not the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is the place where Hashem will rest. That will be a source from which we will draw. And what we will draw, we will then reveal into the world. And this is talking about a very, very esoteric concept. And in this esoteric concept is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with words. Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. Vayomer Elokim Tad She'aretz Desha Esek. Each thing that Hashem said, it happened. What does it mean Hashem said and it happened? He said words and it happened? Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, creates reality. There is no regular reality. There is no natural world. So that's a bunch of baloney. Dvar Hashem creates the world. It creates a reality. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Dvar Hashem, build me a Mishkan of these measurements, and then that will create a new reality. What is the new reality? V'shachanti b'socham. I'm going to dwell within Kol Yisrael. I'm going to give you the power to connect and to channel and to reveal how in everything in creation there is godliness. But that's going to depend on us. The Mikdash is a source. I sometimes think of it like, you know, somebody just came up to me before and said, is there a plug here somewhere? Like, how do I plug in? My phone needs to be charged. My neshama needs to be charged. How do I plug in? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vasuli Mikdash. Make me a mikdash. When you make me a mikdash, v'shachanti b'socham, and then you will be able to draw from that, be the channel, bring that out, and not only that, but reveal where I am in the rest of the world. That concept, which is huge, has never, ever been more obvious than today. Never. Because along with that promise of a Suli Mikdash was, I am going to exist within you. What does that mean, Hashem is going to exist within us? It's a promise. And we've seen it now every single day. We get another story from one of the hostages, from a parent of a hostage, from a soldier, from a letter that the soldier wrote. And we're finding Hashem inside, I have to tell you, in the strangest places. In the strangest places, because you see, there's something called a yesh. Yesh means yesh. What does yesh mean? It is yesh. This yesh. When we say yesh me'ayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a something from nothing. When Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, after they came out of Mitzrayim, and after they got the Torah, and they were in the Midbar, and they didn't have water, right? The story, it's at the end of Parshas Bishalach, and it's the Chumash says that they come to the place over here, Vayisu Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Midbar Sin, and they Vayachanu B'Refidim Ve'in Mayim L'Shtosam, and they have no water. And they ask a question, and they say, Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Im Ayin. Is there a yesh of Hashem bekirbeinu or not? Is there a guarantee for the Jewish people or not? Is there a yeshus? Is there a mashu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu im ayin or not? Vayavo Amalek. Immediately following, Vayavo Amalek. What is the essence of Amalek? The essence of Amalek is the antithesis of Klal Yisrael. It's the ayin. Are we ayin or are we yesh? Where are we? Who are we? Vayavo Amalek vayilachem im Yisrael v'refidim, says the Medrash, the famous Medrash, Rafu Yideim in HaTorah. Rafu Yideim in HaTorah. What were they supposed to be doing at this point? They were in the Midbar. They had everything done for them. They had their clothes washed. They didn't have to go shopping. They didn't have to cook. They didn't. I think of all the tasks that we spend our life doing, they had none of those tasks. What does it mean, Rafu Yideim in HaTorah? It's awareness of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan B'tochenu. It's awareness of a yesh. When they ask that question, Hayesh Hashem B'tochenu Im Ayin, along comes Amalek. Along comes Ben Bino Shel Amalek, Haman HaRasha, and he says, Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzaru Mefarad Bein HaAmin. He says there's a nation in which he adds a nun to the word yesh, Yashen. Their yesh is asleep. They don't see themselves as anything special. They're Yashen. Yeshen, Yeshen, sleeping people. We're sleeping people. Sleeping people don't feel a yesh. When you're asleep, you don't even know who you are. You don't even know where you are. You wake up and you say, where am I? Which side is the bathroom, left or right? That's the first thought when you get up, right? That Yeshen means we lose complete awareness. That's what Haman picked up on. We're back in Refidim. We're back in Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Emayim. Yesh Noam Echad Mefuzar Mefarad Bein HaAmim. Where is their yesh? What happened to it? What happened to that essence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us? And that's when Vayavo Amalek. That's when Haman said, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabed, Eskol HaYehudim. And if you think we're living anything different than that today, you're dreaming. Just because you're in a five-star hotel in the middle of Yerushalayim, we are living with Haman that wants lahashmid, laharog, ulaabed, eskol, hayehudim, min na'ar, va'adzokim, taf, v'nashim b'yom echad. Think about what we've all gone through with these hostages. It is literally, we are seeing this played out. We're seeing old people and young people, men and women, the Bibas children, along with their mother. Yarden Bibas left without his whole family, with nothing left. We're living Haman. Why? Yesh no am echad mefuzer or meforad bein ha'amim. Because we're letting our yesh go to sleep. We're letting our yesh go into yashen. When we go into yashen, we fall to that nun. You know that nun?
Yeah.
That nun is where we got to get out of Mitzrayim now, because if not, when we hit that nun, the 50th level of out of sync, out of control, out of connection, then we're in trouble. That yesh inside these people, we have had the most extraordinary experiences, and I made a small list of some of them. Where's my list? Because I was just blown away. The first story I heard was from Sapir Cohen. Sapir Cohen, a young girl, her pita story. You know her pita story? Her pita story to me was a wake-up call. Sapir Cohen was a hostage. She was from an earlier group that was released. And she said somehow she had found favor in the eyes of her captors. And, you know, they starved them. They continue to starve them. Of course, the poor starving Palestinians, right? But they starved the hostages. And at one point, one of the whatevers gave her an extra pita. Nobody knew. She was with four other people. She said, what do I do now? I heard her say this. She told the story.
Just
I heard it firsthand.
Please.
Yeah. She said, what do I do now? I got this pita. I have three options. I can eat half the pizza today and save a half for tomorrow, which is what we all do at Yach, that's right. We break the matzah in half to save a half, to remember that that's what they did. Or I can eat the whole pizza now because I'm starving. Let me eat the pizza and know that I can live a little longer. Or I could divide the pizza amongst all the people who are here, but they don't know I have it, so I don't have to divide it. And then she said a line that to me was so moving. She said, if I eat the pita myself, I will live. But can I live with myself if that's who I am? And that was a wake-up call. That was her yesh, where she recognized that we are not selfish. We are not self-centered. We are part of a nation. That's what Sefer Shmos is about. We're part of a nation. That's what Amalek wants to destroy, a nation. They don't care who you are. They didn't care. You know that whole kibbutz down there near Oz, that whole kibbutz is a pro-Palestinian kibbutz.
Yeah.
You know that. The levaya that's today is for one of the men from the kibbutz, an older man, who was personally hands-on, devoted to taking these Palestinians to get medical treatment, bringing them food, creating extracurricular activities for the kids. They don't care. Because you're a Jew, because you have a yesh, and they have an ayin, that's all that counts. And they will kill every one of us. And that's what they want to do, unless we connect with our yesh. Yarden Bibas, what a man. Yarden Bibas, the husband of Shiri and the father of the two children, Yarden Bibas, they offered him, convert to Islam, and maybe we will find your wife and children. And he said, I was born a Jew, and I will die a Jew. Yarden Bibas? This man is as disconnected as you can think of people being connected. Keith Siegel, American boy. Keith Siegel.
That was my hostage that I died.
Keith Siegel knew nothing from nothing from nothing. Keith Siegel watched a television program while he was there. And on the television program, he heard the bracha of Mizonos. And on every single thing he ate, he knew Hamotzi, because everybody here knows Hamotzi. And everything else he ate, he made a bracha of Mizonos. I'm making a bracha of Mizonos. He said it made so much sense to me. Bore mine mizonos. You know, it makes the least sense in the world. Why does it make the least sense? Because mizonos is something we make. Mizonos is not something that grows. The mizonos, that bracha, is a very, it's a very interesting bracha. It's the hamotzi and mizonos are brachas that have to do with things that we've done. We can't eat wheat from the field. We can't eat barley from the field. We have to take it. We have to thresh it. We have to grind it. We have to make flour. We have to put it with our sourdough starter that died and put it together and try and create some kind of something, and it's not rising, and I don't know what happened, and does someone have a starter? So I can start all over again. I mean, this, we know how much work goes into those sourdough breads. We know how much work goes into baking challis. You have to have the flour and the yeast, and you have to put it in the right temperature. And if you don't do it right, my challis flopped this week. Oh, well, I can't figure out why. I used my regular recipe, and they tasted too yeasty, and I don't know what I did wrong. But, okay, that's mizonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bore mine mizonos. It's the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, created man, gave us the ability to make bread, and therefore, he, in fact, is bore mine mizonos. He created all the powers that need to come together in order to have bread or cake, to have anything that's made with flour. So you think about the bracha that Keith Siegel picked up on, and you said, Keith Siegel picked up on something that is much, much deeper than just making a bracha on a food. When you say Bore Pri Ha'etz, you'll be going to a field. I'm sure you'll go to a pardes at some point. No, you have to go to a pardes. Pick grapefruits, pick oranges, pick lemons. No, huh? It's not on your list. You go to a pardes and you're in the field and you're out in the orchard and you pick a grapefruit and you peel it and you eat it and you say Bore Pri Ha'etz. You look at the wonder that God made a fruit. But mizonos, hamotzi, doesn't have that. Mizonos, hamotzi, I made. That's a danger zone. A danger zone is I made. Keith Siegel was a smart man. And Keith Siegel said, Bore mine mizonos. God creates all kinds of foods. Whatever it is, if we can eat it, it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Agam Burger, we all know Agam Burger. She has stories and stories and stories. She's just amazing.
We all met her a few times.
Did you meet her? She's an amazing human being, and she has given chizuk to so much of Klal Yisrael. Ori Danino. Ori Danino was killed, you know Ori Danino. And now that Elia Cohn came out, he told the Ori Danino stories. And he talked about how Ori Danino intervened with the horrible captors to try and get help for the injured people. And he put his own life at risk to the point that he actually got killed for it. But he was determined to get help for other people over there. I can go on and on. I have an endless list over here that just goes on and on. You have Oed Ben Ami, who just said he came out and his family asked him, so what would you like to do? He said, I don't know, what do you usually do on a Monday? So they said, you know, you do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. He says, no, there's something that I can only do till Tuesday. What is it that I'm supposed to do on Monday? And he made Havdalah. And that's all he wanted to do was make Havdalah. And when he made Havdalah, he said, I understand for the first time in my life what it means, hamavdil, bein Kodesh l'chol, bein Yisrael l'amin. And his Havdalah was a Havdalah of real, he knows nothing, but he knew something. Someone had told him in captivity, he had actually heard about it. First he said he heard it in the army. And I can just, I have a list here and I can go on and on with the stories, but the essence of the stories is that our yesh is a guarantee. Sometimes the revelation of the yesh is very, very painful. But when the yesh comes out, we have an entirely new story. And this is a story of where we really are. And I want to give you a mashal, okay? A mashal between two people. This actually comes from the Ishbitza. Mashal of two people you have, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven just got his sentence handed down in the court. He's going into jail for 10 years. It's the day before he's going into jail. He's headed for a jail sentence for 10 years. Shimon, on the other hand, has been in jail for 10 years, and he just got his papers of shichur. He's going to be released from jail. Who's in jail? Reuven or Shimon? Reuven's in jail. Why is Reuven in jail? His whole head is, this is it, this is my last day, I'm going into jail the next 10 years, what's going to be in 10 years, my kids will be 10 years older, my house will be 10 years older, I don't know. He's in jail. Why is he in jail? Because his da'as is in jail. Shimon, on the other hand, is in the jail, under lock and key, wearing handcuffs, but Shimon is thinking, okay, what am I going to have first? I'm going to have a cappuccino. I'm going to have a pizza. What did one of the hostages say? I just want to have a burger. I'm going to have... He's already out of jail. And the best mashal for that is our Yom Kippur. When we come to shul, Kol Nidre night, we come Kol Nidre night on a very full stomach. We've eaten... We ate Erev Yom Kippur, this Suda, and the next Suda, and these Maicholim, and these things, and we ate, and we have a full stomach. And in anticipation of maybe having a headache, I already took two Advils, so I don't have a headache. In anticipation of being comfortable, I'm wearing the right sneakers on my feet, I come Kol Nidre, we finish Kol Nidre, we daven Maariv, and we come to Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, and we say it out loud. Why? Well, like Malachim, look at us. But Matzah Yom Kippur, when the headache is profound, when the stomach is grumbling, when the feet are hurting, when I really feel like I was mashkia, I invested, I put in a real avodah over here, we finish Ne'ilah, we daven Maariv, and then we're at the highest point, right? Ne'ilah was at the highest point. We daven Maariv, and I really feel a little bit like a malach. I did my 10 vidoys. I did the whole lot, and I stood more than I had to, and I did everything that could possibly be. And then we come to Shema, and we say Baruch Shem quietly, because we're not malachim. Why aren't we malachim? Because I'm thinking, should I start with orange juice or coffee? Do I want cake? It's a good way to start my diet before you're dead. I shouldn't eat the cake. I'll eat a cracker. We are not where we are. We are where we are. Our da'as, our mind impacts where we are. If we are connected with our yesh, we are yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. If we are not connected with our yesh, and we're just Americans like every other American, or Australians like every other Australian, or Israelis like every other Israeli, if we're not connected with the yesh inside of us, we're not present. Then we're yashen. Then yeshno am echad mefuzer or mefori. This is what we're living with now. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift after the Second World War. He gave us a gift of amazing peace. I don't know about you guys. I look back at my childhood. I had an incredible childhood. We grew up without caring, without worrying about anything. My parents came back as they came out of Europe. My parents came back as refugees. They came to America as refugees. But we, my generation, we were brought up with everything. We had comfort. You didn't need a lot of money to be comfortable. You didn't have a lot of choices of what to wear. There was no pressure, social pressures, of keeping up with the Joneses, of keeping up with the Schwartzes. You know, that you got to build and do and whatever. We were free. I was in Muncie. We rode our bikes to school. We didn't lock our bikes. We didn't wear helmets. We didn't wear knee pads. We didn't wear straps that said that we can glow at night. We had no sidewalks on Blavatt Road where I grew up. It was a hill that went like this. It was the funnest hill to ride. We had the most freedom, food, everything you can possibly have. I went to a school. We were 30 girls in the class. You didn't wait to get accepted or not accepted. I had a girl in my class who was not Shomer Shabbos. I had a girl in my class who came from a Chassidsha family. We had girls in our class that came from Yeshiva Springvale. YSV, Muncie, New York. I taught in Yeshiva Springvale afterwards, after I, when I was finished school.
So you know Basti Mendel?
Who?
Basti Mendel.
Which Mendel, which is that? Hoodie Mendelowitz was in my class. Esty Mendelowitz was ended up. We got lots of Mendelowitzes in Muncie.
Those
Mendelowitzes. They probably came after I left. I left Muncie 42 years ago. Anyway,
what about high school? What about high school? Muncie High School.
Beis Yaakov, the Rebbetzin.
So we're the same age. My friends suffered there.
Where? By the Rebbetzin?
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, the Rebbetzin brought out the Yesh. That's what she did to me. You know what she did to me? I'll tell you what the Rebbetzin did to me. She should have a lichta gegan eden. She gave so much to all of us. I spent a lot of time with the Rebbetzin. We had a lot of private time. Yeah. I think I held the school record for being thrown out. And then I graduated. And at graduation, I noticed that my diploma was a blank sheet of paper. And I went to the Rebbetzin and I said, why did I get a blank sheet of paper? Where's my diploma? She said, well, you failed diktuk. I said, okay, I know I failed diktuk, but you don't not get a diploma because you failed diktuk. She says, you don't need a diploma. You're never going to be a teacher anyway. I said, Rebbetzin, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Good job.
So God bless Rebbetzin celebration. She should have a lichta gegan eden. Going back just for one more quick thought, going back to the Yesh and going back to the Mishkan, when we talk about in these parashios the boring sedras, when we talk about the Mishkan and we talk about the Big Day Kahuna, you might wonder, why is that included in the Torah? When you build your house, when you're building it, you have your architect, you have your interior designer, you have all these beautiful, big, giant sheets of paper that show you what it's going to look like, or computer screen nowadays that it all looks live. But you don't need that once you've built the house. Because once you've built the house, you already know that the room goes till here because that's where the wall is and that's the end of the room. You don't need the plans anymore. Mishkan was temporary. Why are the plans for the Mishkan included in Chamisha Chumshei Torah? What do we need them for? What do we care how many amos it was here and how many amos it was there and how things were connected? I want to point out two things. First of all, when they were doing Kriyas HaTorah yesterday in Shul, one of the things I noticed, and I notice this every year and it always like strikes me. Did you go to Shul yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you notice that when you talk about the Yerios, it talks, the curtains, it talks about how they're connected to each other. Isha el achosa, a woman to her sister. It's a very interesting lashon in the Torah. The walls are connected. Isha el achosa, a woman to her sister. You know why whenever you talk about walls, you're talking about women. Women are the walls of the world. We are the world, the walls of our families. We keep the outside out, and we keep the inside in. Now it's very hard nowadays, by the way. We've never had it as hard as we have it today, to keep the outside out and keep the inside in. How many people today still say, well, this is the way my grandfather did it, and this is the way I'm going to do it, unless you're coming from a specific Hasidic sect, unless you're coming from a specific mishpacha, briska mishpacha, you're not going to find that so much anymore. How many kids have scrubbed for Pesach today? In your houses, in my house, How many kids have scrubbed for Pesach, and how many people want to know, where am I going for Pesach? What changed? And what changed is that the walls of the house, the walls of the house are containment to keep the inside in and the outside out. When the walls are not connected one to another, then the outside comes in and the inside goes out. Traditions, minhagim, are so important for Klal Yisrael. Minhagim, which means, how did my father do it? How did my grandfather do it? Where did that come from? My father was a refugee. He came to America. He didn't have a whole big background of any sort. He came from Germany, but his war years were spent in Switzerland. He did come together with his family. My grandmother from my mother's side was also a refugee. They also came to America like that. But one thing they both had, this is the way we do it. That line is gone. We're so busy pandering to our children and our grandchildren that we forget to say, no, that is not the way we do it. We do it like this. We have our Mishkan. We have our walls. We have our yesh. I had a guest for Seder. I'm going back probably about 35 years ago. No, less than that, 30 years ago. I had a guest for Seder, and she came from a completely irreligious home. And it was the first time she came for a Seder. And she came, and we were up to Marar, and my husband asked her, which do you use, the lettuce or the chrein? And she laughed, and she said, you think it makes a difference? Whichever one I do, am I yotze? I'm yotze, good, tick, you know, put a tick at the back. He said, no, what was your tradition? She says, we didn't have a Seder. He said, what did your parents do? What did you have at your meal? You sat down to a Seder. What did you have? We ate. What did we eat?
Brisket.
We ate brisket. We ate gefilte fish with horseradish.
Oh, there it is.
And when we ate gefilte fish with horseradish, my father would say, this is in memory of the Maror. So, oh, there we have it.
Yeah.
You have a tradition, stick with it for the rest of your life. Stay with your traditions, keep the inside in and the outside out. That's the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the containment of Kedusha, and it depends on us. As women, we know that the only Kedusha and Tahara that still exists in the world today without a Beis HaMikdash is the Tahara of a woman. Women go to the mikvah. A man goes to the mikvah. It's a whole different story. There's no bracha. They're in, they're out, they're schmoozing. It's a whole different ballgame. A woman has tahara. She has purity. It's not purity. It's not clean. It's about being able to immerse yourself in the yesh so you can take it out with you and have children that are coming from the yesh. That's our job. When you go to Shiloh, you're not going to look at an old place.
Wow.
You're not going to look at a relic. You're not going to look at what once was. You're going to look at how can I do that piece of Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, so Haman cannot say about me, Yeshno am echad mefuzar mufarad bein ha'amen, because that is what Haman is saying today across the world. Just get rid of them and we'll have a much better world, because they're so jealous of our yesh. That yesh is Sefer Shmos. All of the Arba Parshios come out of Sefer Shmos. Whether you're talking about Shkolim and Kisisa, Amalek, We have Amalek in Shmos. We read it from later on, but from Kisetze, but we have it here in Shmos. We have Parshav Amalek. We have the Chodesh HaZelochem. We have Pesach. Everything's in Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos is our name. Shmos means names. It's who we are. Sefer Shmos identifies us. The Mishkan takes up almost half of Sefer Shmos. The Mishkan and the Big Day Kahuna. It identifies us. It tells us, Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. There's no yeshno. We're not asleep. We are where our da'as is. Keep your head where your head is. When your head is where it is, that's where you will be. when your head is elsewhere. And I got to tell you, this is our worst enemy. Yeah. It's our worst enemy, because wherever our head is, someone just did a study. I just saw an interesting study that people today cannot sit through a movie. We're not talking about us. Cannot sit through a movie in a movie theater without checking their phone minimum every 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. And they pay to go to the movies. You understand? And they're busy checking their phone. This is part of the plan of distraction. With distraction, we get a sleepy nation. We are a sleepy people. We're great. Comes Friday night, Friday afternoon, we turn it off. We're gone. We don't care. We have something bigger. We have Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is the essence of the Kedusha. It's the Yesh. It's being immersed in the Yesh like being immersed in a mikvah. It's being in it. That's where we're going. We're going into Purim now. Purim is the ultimate place of Simcha that's not Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Normally, the concept of Simcha by Jews is Simcha Shel Mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah, you have a simcha of a mitzvah. You go to a chasna, it's a simcha of building a bayis neman. You have a bris milah, it's a simcha of the mitzvah. Purim is not a simcha of a mitzvah. Purim is just a mitzvah, mishenichnas adar, marbin b'simcha. This is the simcha of what? Of who we are.
So we
it's stam simcha.
We just learned this week that simcha is machshava, which is really...
Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's where is your head.
Yeah.
But it's not a simcha that's connected to what I'm doing. It's a simcha that's connected to who I am. And who I am is my head, my da'as, my machshava, my lev. That defines me. That says who I am. And that's what we're learning with every one of these hostages that have come back. This is what we're learning when we're reading the letters, you know, in the Israeli army. Every soldier who goes out to war writes a letter before he goes out. He writes a letter to his parents if he doesn't come back. And we're reading these letters and we are blown away by what the level of emuna, of bitachon, of connection to Am Yisrael. It's not about me. It's about a nation. It's about a people. That's Sefer Shemos. That's Purim. That's the simcha of Purim is the simcha of, guess what? We're not asleep. We're awake. We're jumping. We're dancing. We're singing. We're excited. We're happy with what? We are. That the Amalek will never get us. We are here to stay, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to us. Asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. It's a promise. I will always dwell within each and every Jewish person. That's our neshama. That's our, what we used to call the pinta l'yid. That's the essence of every Jewish person. We should just be zeicha not to have such hard yisurim to bring out the pinta l'yid, but rather we go in the tkufa now of Purim, of Pesach, to bring it out in a positive way. And we should be zeicha to the Geula Shleima.
Amen.
By the women.
Amen. Amen.